And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison, and yes, we are always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to be with you today. Well, Corey, it was an absolute pleasure to meet you and your husband at the Wealth and Passive Income Expo. I want to thank you for coming on the show today. As we get into this, why don't you share a little bit of background about yourself?
So my husband and I have been married for 20 years, and we have two older teenage children. We both were high-level executives in the oil and gas industry and project management. And then we found Lifestyles 5 years ago in 2019 and went down a path that eventually had me leave the corporate world to focus on investing.
Okay, nothing better than getting out of corporate America. I'm right there with you. So that's great. So you found Lifestyles in 2019. You're an oil and gas exec. What made you even consider looking at real estate investing?
Well, you know, we have friends that are entrepreneurs, and we always heard about their tax breaks. And since we had two big W-2 jobs, we were paying a crazy amount in tax. We were like, how do we get on that train? And it's really hard with two W-2 jobs, let me just say that. But we thought real estate investing would be a good option, but we didn't really know how to do it. And then our neighbor, who's a really good friend of ours, Tom Tito, he's actually been on one of these radio shows. He went to the 2-day and came back, started investing in single family, and he was showing us these pictures of these totally wrecked houses he was buying, and we were a little crazy.
Yeah.
Especially his wife. And then eventually, though, you know, he rehabbed them and he rented them out and he was making great cash flow. And we were like, maybe there's something to this. And then my husband, John, and I went to the 2-day and we joined.
Excellent. Were you turned off when he was showing you initially? I find that it shocks people. It shocked me personally, the Lifestyles Unlimited model, because I was an investor prior and I always thought you're supposed to go buy a really nice house and then lease that out to a resident. So what was your initial impression when he's like, look at this house that I bought and here's what the condition it was in?
Oh, we all thought he was crazy because they were destroyed. I mean, I just remember
those are the best investments.
It was maybe his third house, and like all the appliances were just like stacked up in the middle, and the walls were torn up, and we were just like, what are you even going to do with that?
I agree. Were you impressed? I take it he showed you the before and then the after photos, right?
Yes, they were great. I mean, part of what makes this a lovely profession is that you're helping people. You're giving them good housing. You know, you're making where they live a nice place.
It's a good feeling. I will tell you that. But you have to get past that whole ugly house thing. I remember when I joined Lifestyles Unlimited, the first time that I went to go look at a house, I actually called my contact at Lifestyles and said, are you crazy? I'm not buying this. And he responded, he said, Mike, if you don't buy it, I have 20 other people that will. So that was a big hurdle for me. Let's go back to, okay, so you've got W-2 income. You and your husband are making great salaries, but you're also paying massive taxes. I can imagine 40%+, obviously. So it was the tax side that caused you to look at real estate. Did you pull him in? Did he pull you in? Did you go arm in arm? How was that?
We went arm in arm, and initially we just wanted to do passive investing. We did get into three passive deals like in the first 6 months. And then our path veered a little bit because my husband is Venezuelan and his parents still live there. And, you know, the country's been going through challenges for like 20 years.
Understatement.
understatement for sure. And we were trying to get him to move here. So we got this great idea that we would buy 10 single family homes, renovate them, and let them manage the rentals. And we got like eight in, and they decided, no, they're not moving. And they just, you know, they just didn't want to leave their country, which is understandable. But then we had eight single family homes. So that's how that happened. I decided, then I decided that I was going to retire from my job and become a real estate professional. So we found an IRO 20 doors in Galveston, and that was our first multifamily purchase.
Okay. I had no idea that you started with, you started passive, you did the houses, and then you did the IRO. So you got the hat trick right there of three of our four paths in investing. Was there worry about doing the IRO, or was that the initial plan, or why didn't you become a lead right out of the gate? Walk me through that.
Well, that was the initial plan. I mean, there's a lot of talk about whether you should do your first deal as an IRO or a lead, and there's pluses to both sides, but we just decided that we wanted to do the first one on our own to figure it out. A lot of people don't, and they're successful, so there's nothing wrong with that. But that was just our kind of conservative approach. And it took us a long time to find the first first IRO deal, the first multifamily deal. And in the meantime, I think we bought like one or two more single family.
So did you get up to 12 houses? Is that correct?
No, more like 8 or 10 doors.
Okay.
Yeah, we have one duplex.
Okay. Do you still own any of those?
Yeah, most of them. I think we sold two.
Okay. And give me your 3-year, 5-year outlook on single family properties. Do you plan to always have single family properties or divest yourself of them or add more? What are your thoughts there?
Probably not. We're looking for another lead deal. And at that point, we might sell some. It's mostly tax related. You know,
certainly,
because you have the depreciation and you have to make sure that you're getting in new investments every year so that you can, you know, write off the depreciation.
Yeah. And you're dealing with larger investments. So once you get to that level, you're investing what, anywhere from 30 to 40, maybe 50,000 in a single family property, where you can multiply that many times when you start moving up to apartments. So that makes sense. Tell me about your passive investing side. You had mentioned you participated in three. Has that grown? Do you look to continue?
Yeah, actually one was, two are still our initial investments. And one was a smaller one that they've already sold. We did well on that. And then we just got into another one this year, and we might do one more before the end of the year.
They're like Pringles. You can't just have one, right? Why not invest in this? I absolutely focus on passive investing, so it's a lot of fun. So let's go into your independent rental, your little property there in Galveston. Why that property? What was the opportunity there?
Well, I like Galveston. It's a cute little city. I mean, it's a little terrifying with the hurricanes, but so far we've been lucky, knock on wood. But it's I bought it from a lifestyle owner, and it was, you know, it's just a cute, it's actually three separate buildings in three separate locations, but they're just like really cute buildings, very stable occupancy. And it was a great learning. You know, I learned how to do the books and the management and leasing. And, you know, some of the things like leasing and rehab, I was able to draw from the single family. But then, you know, the whole commercial loan is much different than single family loans. So that was a big learning. And then, you know, the management software is much different. So those were all good steps to learning before I did the lead deal.
Yeah, great way to cut your teeth, so to speak, before becoming a lead is to go ahead and become an independent rental owner, so you can learn the accounting, learn dealing with the banks, the loans, CapEx. Talk to me about that. Did you have to make any upgrades or fix some stuff on the property?
Yeah, we had a CapEx budget. The previous owner had done quite a bit, and so we were just mainly focused on turning units. They had changed out all the ACs, did one of the three roofs, and did the exterior, you know, like facelift paint and such. So it was mostly just turning units as people left or as we raised rents and they left.
Yep. Okay.
So it was good, you know, building my team, finding one of the challenges with a small property is you don't have full-time employees. So I did all the leasing and bookkeeping, and then I found an on-call maintenance man, which I had to go through a few, but now I've had one for several years, and he's great. But once you have those people that, you know, you can count on, that makes a huge difference.
Certainly. And, yeah, the challenge there, small property, you're self-managing. How's that work? Because obviously you don't live too far from the property, but you're getting emails or text or how are you working that?
So when I have, so as far as maintenance, you know, they can either do it through the portals for the management software, or yeah. I actually have a separate phone number than my primary, but it's just an app. It's like a VOIP. And so that number I know is like for the apartments. And so they can also call or text me there. But then when I have a unit for lease, because it's about an hour and 15-minute drive, and, you know, I worked into this, but basically when I have a vacant unit, I put a smart lock on it, which is like Wi-Fi operated, and then I put security cameras inside, and I just do phone remote tours when I'm on the phone.
Okay, and I wanted you to share that because for many members or many people that are looking to begin real estate investing, we always say live where you want, invest where you want, and they just can't understand how you can own a, for instance, a single family property four states away, or even an apartment community that's only an hour drive away or an hour and a half drive away. It's just a really big hurdle. But for you, the biggest challenge is setting up the software and the cameras and that sort of thing and the smart locks.
Yeah. And then, I mean, of course, it's much faster to, because people are kind of flaky, you know, so they'll say they're going to show up and then they don't. And if you actually drove an hour and a half to get there, you're probably going to be a little bit upset. But if you're just waiting for a phone call and they don't show up, it doesn't matter. Right. So it's super fast to do that. I do now when they call. So I use Facebook Marketplace a lot for the IRO. Mostly that's my marketing. And so I always ask them to call me first so I can explain how the tour works. I do have them text me a photo of their ID and then a selfie of them at the property so I can confirm who they are, you know, and that kind of makes them feel a little bit more responsible, you know, to lock up after they're gone because I, you know, have their ID. And then I go over my criteria with them and I offer to email it to them. So just to make sure that, you know, they meet it before they spend the time to go and do the tour.
Yeah. Isn't it fantastic to live in the world of technology that we live in that can simplify these processes? The lease is all online, the background check. I'm sure there's a site that you send them to and they could do the background side of it. And then they're paying online. So yeah, you can visit the property when you want, but you can just pull up your cameras at any given moment and see the property as well. All right, Corey, well, thanks for sharing that. And when we come back on the other side, let's dig into that first syndication, you as a lead investor.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I've got Corey on the show today. I met Corey and her wonderful husband at Expo. I will tell you, Corey, you and John are a ton of fun. I had a great time. And for you listeners out there, Corey's a lead investor, an independent rental owner, a single family property owner, and invests passively. And that's not good enough. She's real estate retired as well. So congratulations, Corey. Let's get into that. Your first syndication. All right. We're taking the next step. You've already got your little property in Galveston. You're deciding to go as a syndicator. What was the decision there? Why not just go buy another independent rental owner, another property, and you don't have to deal with all these passive investors like me?
Well, first of all, my passives are awesome, but I didn't know that at the time, obviously. Yeah. I mean, if you want to scale, most people have a limited money, right? And so if you're putting like 10 or 20% into a deal, then you can you can have more deals. And also, we are self-managing, so we wanted to just grow that capability. So the next logical step was to do syndications.
Makes sense. What processes did you have to go through? So you're an independent rental owner, you know how to manage a property, you know how to run a property, you understand that, but we're adding a whole nother leg to this business. What did you have to learn to go through during that aspiring lead process?
Oh, so there's training, which is mandatory to become LEED certified, which is great training. And then there's regular monthly meetings, both as an aspiring LEED. And then once you're a LEED, there's a separate meeting, which are great because you learn from each other, you know, more up-to-date current topics. And then, of course, the whole syndication process. And
yes.
Well, I mean, not only that, but, you know, there's a lot of steps, you know, communicating with your potential passives. And if you use Podium, you know, setting the deal up in there and doing all of your, you know, webinar and then working with the attorneys to set up the syndication, you know, the private placement memorandum and all of that stuff. And, you know, getting the subscribers and getting their investments in the bank account. And it's just, you know, a lot more.
Yeah, it's a chore. You've got to manage the asset, obviously. And you've got to manage the loan, keep the bank happy. And then you have to manage the ownership. And that's what you were touching on, a lot of that. And even putting together the ownership to begin with. How big was your raise for this first property?
It was only $1.3 million, so it went really fast.
Okay. And I know there's people out there that probably almost drove off the road. You're like, it's only 1.3, but I want the new listeners to understand that we've participated in $40 and $50 million properties. So, when Corey says, it's only 1.3, how long did it take you to raise $1.3 million?
Like 2 days.
Wow. What a good feeling, right? I take it
yeah.
You were even oversubscribed.
Yeah.
I have leads tell me that's the toughest because you go out to raise 1.3 and then you log on and you look at how the process is going and you've had commitments for, say, $2 million or $3 million, something like that. And really what that means is you have a decision process of who you want your passives to be. And I just want the listener to understand that. That's tough as a lead to say a no to somebody that's trying to give you money.
It is. It's really tough. But it is also a good feeling. So,
it is.
I mean, not that, but it's a good feeling that you were able to raise that so quickly.
Yeah, and if you think about it like this, basically people out there, passive investors, have taken a look at Corey and her husband's resume, and they've said, yes, these people have the skill set to manage a larger property, to manage a business. These people understand what they're doing. These people have put together a business plan that we'd like to participate in. And so really it's a check in the box for you that people out there have faith in you to basically give their blood, sweat, and tears their money and trust them with that money.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big commitment and that I take very seriously. And I think that most leads do, you know, because it's other people's money and you want to be profitable and you know, diligent and also, you know, providing the homes for people that are living in your apartment. And, you know, now you have employees, so you're also taking care of them and making sure that they're satisfied with their jobs. So it's a whole lot more dimensions once you go to LEED.
Yep. You have employees and then you have your client base, right? And we always say a happy resident makes a good investment. What was the condition of the property when you purchased it?
We had about $400,000 rehab budget. And so we did a lot of exterior work, you know, paint and fixing stairs. And then we also rehabbing a lot of the units. We basically put in new appliances. We changed out ACs as needed, and we're still doing that. But we've rehabbed probably like 75% of the units.
Yeah, if for a $1.3 million raise, $400,000 in CapEx, that sounds like pretty heavy lift. What was the management? Was it a former Lifestyles Unlimited member, or tell me about the management of the property before you bought it?
So it was a Lifestyles member, but, you know, one of the reasons why properties tend to trade every, you know, 5 to 7 years is because people run out of capital, and then you need a new infusion.
Yeah.
And so that's what this was.
How many, for instance, is it a manager or leasing agent? It's a 48 unit. So how many people do you have there?
So I got very fortunate, and another owner in Victoria and I share staff.
Talk to me about why you would share staff with another apartment community and how that works.
The other owner is a Lifestyles lead also, and he has 106 doors. So we have a community manager, a maintenance man. Usually we have another maintenance like helper, and then we have another leasing agent in the office. And so we do it kind of as needed. You know, it's like two-thirds him, one-third me, but it's not scheduled by day or hour or anything like that. And honestly, you know, it is a little bit of an odd arrangement, but it's worked out really well for all of us. So I'm very thankful for that, because otherwise it's really hard to run a 48 unit because you end up having part-time, which is harder to manage.
Correct. And what I want an investor to understand, what Corey's saying here, is I've got 48 units. It brings in so much income. I want to keep an eye on the overhead. How can I be as lean as I possibly can and run this business properly and provide a return for investors? And here's one way we can share employees with other lead investors. And so when we talk about the community at Lifestyles Unlimited, it is so powerful in so many different ways just to even have that resource. So Corey, imagine if you were alone in Victoria and you didn't know any other people or ownership or anything like that, it would cost you money because you'd have to keep extra people on hand.
Oh, absolutely. And also being in the tertiary market, it's sometimes more challenging to find employees and contractors. Just because, you know, Houston's so much bigger, you can find there's a lot more resources available.
Yeah, and I take it, so between your property in Galveston, I'm sure you have fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members that you can just reach out with a phone call or what have you that also own property in Galveston, and the same thing in Victoria. Just the power of our community to be able to do something like that is pretty amazing. So what's your biggest challenges, I guess, on owning this property in Victoria?
Well, probably it's the size and also the tertiary market, because it is sometimes hard to find contractors. Sometimes we like save up work so we can get someone from Houston to come and do work on both properties, like painting and things like that. And then sometimes we have a hard time finding like the maintenance helpers and things like that. So those are our biggest challenges.
Yeah, it's tough to find good employees, I guess, in some of these smaller markets. What have you learned as a first-time lead?
Oh, I've learned a lot. I've learned that some people really can destroy apartments, even in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
And that communication with the passives is very important. My passives are great. They only send encouragement, which is very thankful. I'm very thankful for.
Yeah.
Also, you know, training the employees and making procedures is really important if you're going to scale and be a self-manage your properties.
Yep.
So I'm developing all of that.
Do you miss your W-2 job?
I do not. Thankfully, my husband still loves his job, but I'm happy, very happy where I am.
Yeah, you can basically set your own schedule, take care of what you have to do, and you don't have some deadline or some corporate. I always hated when the corporate side would change, right? They'd get a new CEO in. And for some reason, those guys always want to reshape everything in their name. So it changes all your processes for the last 3 or 4 years are shifting to this. And this division's over here. And It's just corporate America is good until the second that they're not. So, Corey, how were you able to translate your skills from your W-2 career into being a real estate owner and a lead investor?
Well, even though I didn't have any real estate experience, I'm a chemical engineer, but then within 5 years of my 20-year career, I went into project management, and it was managing large capital, you know, like $100 million to $1 billion projects that were executed around the world and being on a lot of foreign assignments. So that just, so many skill sets that you learn there, you know, scheduling, planning, reporting, budgeting. So all of that is applicable to running a business. And that's what being a lead is, running a business.
Yeah, it's, I say that all the time, that we purchase streams of income. We're purchasing a business. At the end of the day, this is a business. Treat it like a business. A multifamily apartment community is a business. And so run it and manage it as a business, watch your P&L, just like we were doing in our previous careers and understanding it. It's the same thing. Now we're just doing it for ourselves as owners, as opposed to for some corporation and shareholders. So it's much more liberating. Corey, I take it at some point, obviously, you've done every next challenge. So at some point, you're going to be looking for another multifamily property, I take it?
I am. I'm looking now, and I'm thinking that hopefully the beginning of next year, you know, the interest rates will be more stabilized and the markets are really going to open up. So I am anticipating my second deal early next year. Fingers crossed.
Excellent. I've got a bright outlook for next year myself as well. So very optimistic. What are you looking for? What do you want in your second property?
So I'm looking for 80 to 120 doors so that I can have full-time staff. I do prefer 1980s or more recent than that. And I would like it to be within 2 hours of Houston. That's my main criteria box.
Okay. Well, there's plenty of stuff 2 hours around Houston. I mean, Houston is just, I grew up south of Houston on the coast down there. So I know Galveston very well, but it's just, it's massive. I mean, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So plenty of opportunity in that window. Let's go to a question that's a little more fun, and you'd kind of hit on it. This is a two-way street, right? We have a lead investor, and it's not all us as passives with expectations for the lead. The lead also has some expectations from us as passives, right? Corey, what are you looking for in a passive investor?
Well, I like to have a personal relationship. That means a lot, but I know that that's not going to happen all the time. I like people who are involved in the community because the community is amazing. Like, it's so open and sharing. That's one of the things I love most about Lifestyles. And then once we're in the deal, I welcome questions. You know, just be professional about it, or at least, you know, courteous. And yeah. I've never had a bad experience, but I know some people have.
Be a professional. Right. I like that a lot. And I was smiling when you were saying just the power of the community and being involved in Lifestyles Unlimited. Well, if you're not doing it, you've got to come check us out. I will just say that for listeners out there. Corey, would you describe what you've accomplished as difficult in any way or complicated?
I mean, yeah, in some aspects. Like, it's difficult to find the good deals. I spend a lot of time analyzing and passing on deals, or, you know, not being able to offer as much as the seller wants. And parts of it are complicated. You know, you have to manage the people, the residents, your employees. But it's not brain surgery.
No, not at all. And we can teach all that. Is it difficult dealing with, I know, the bank, right? You've got to keep the bankers happy, the lenders. Speak on that briefly.
Well, my two loans are private bank loans, so I haven't had any agency debt yet, but I'm guessing that my next deal will be agency debt, which is government-backed. basically. And so actually my bankers are awesome. And, you know, I give them the reports that they want. And because my properties are doing well, we never have any issues. And they keep in contact. You know, it's just another part of your network. We keep in contact. And actually, I haven't had any issues in that regard.
Wonderful. And what a great experience from your end, just the progression that you've gone through. You're definitely ready for a larger property. I mean, your skill set, everything you've accomplished to date so far. Always worry when a new lead takes on a big property, but you did it the right way. You stair-stepped up. And Corey, shout out to you and John. You're doing a great job. For the rest of you out there, I want you to remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.